One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Merkle Media.
The driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Hello and welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. My name is Brian Merkle.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
If you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or if you would just like to have a conversation with us about your experiences from the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the hammerlanelegends.com webpage, hit the contact section. You can get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just go ahead and get a hold of us, and we will contact you through email, and then we'll get your phone number from you, and we'll set things up, and we'll have a good conversation. Looking forward to always talking to somebody new, right, Chip?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Tell them about the voicemail line, Chip.
Voicemail line, a short story, 5-10 minutes, anything crazy, wild, wacky you participated in, saw, or somebody told you about. Leave a message, 515-585-MERK. Did I do that right?
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. I looked at that. 515-585-6375. Short message, 5-10 minutes at the most. Anything longer, you have the gift of gab. You just don't know it.
Yes, you do.
Get a hold of Brian or Jack.
Yes, sir. Just send us an email or get a hold of us that way, and then one of us will contact you. More than likely, it'll be me. But that's, you know,
That's how we're rolling this year.
So if you find yourself in need of any kind of preparedness stuff, you know what to do. Prepare with HLL.com. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Prepare with HLL.com. Shipper, buy me a coffee.
Buy you one.
Yeah, buy me one.
That's keep us fueled at buymeacoffee.com/hammerlane. It's a virtual tip jar. If you like what we're doing here, you feel free to contribute. If not, well, thanks for looking.
Yes, sir.
While you're looking, look at the website. See what's there. Leave us a voicemail. Let us know what's there.
Yeah. Hey, how was your week, Ship?
Fair to mediocre.
Fair to mediocre.
Yeah.
I mean, what the heck? You wound up here on a Saturday morning.
Fair to mediocre.
Yeah, I hear that. You sound so excited to be here.
I'm a slave to the work, and then I'm a slave to here.
You're a slave to here. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you poor man.
Yes.
You have it so
When
rough.
Did we have a day off last? That had to be in last year.
It was last year.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, right? No, it was this year.
Was it?
Yeah, January 6th.
Oh, yeah, you had to celebrate that thing.
Yeah, my daughter buying a house and moving.
Oh, I thought the other thing.
Yeah, I was celebrating the insurrection thing, you mabobble, right? There you go.
I'm just saying. Just spitballing.
Is that
here.
What you were doing?
Yep.
What were we talking today? Who are we talking to today, Shipper?
Kyle.
Yes, Kyle.
Hello, Kyle.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
It's going well. It's waiting for you. Yeah. Shipper's on top of things.
Fair
you know
to
what
mediocre.
I'm saying? He's doing fancy. He's still fair to mediocre. But you know, he's doing fantastic because he's here. So.
There you go. As long as he's there and he's present, then he's in a great state of mind.
Yes,
you.
Sir. Present and accounted for. So, Kyle.
I just show up.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Well, Kyle, introduce yourself. Kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of how you got into the trucking industry and just kind of like where you've been. And then we're going to kind of get into your list here. I'm looking forward to it, but I wanted to hear a little bit about you first.
Yeah, sure. Name's Kyle, as you all said. I've been driving truck for only about 8 years now. Got into it just like pretty much everybody else on your show, you know, family tradition kind of thing. I'm a third generation driver.
Okay.
But I didn't start out driving. I actually started out as a firefighter. Started doing that, did that for about 3 years, and honestly just came to a bad scene. They kind of messed me up in the head. So I got out of that and got into the trades and became a welder. And I did that for, 12 years, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a welder for 12 years, going around all the mines, coal mines, copper mines, gold mines, and working on all the equipment. All the digging, like the drag lines and the shovels and trucks and dozers and all that. And then one day I just got full of it. I just didn't want to do it anymore. So I said, screw this. I'm going to follow the family tradition here, and went and got my license and started driving truck.
Nice. And you've been driving for about 8 years now.
About 8 years. I think it was 2016 is when I got my license.
Wow. It's amazing how fast time goes, isn't it? Especially once you know,
it really is.
You know, when you start driving, it just, you know, your life becomes a blur, you know, because one day rolls right into the next, you know. So you said this is like a family thing. Is your dad drive and your, you know, other family members, or like who in your family are drivers?
So my grandfather started driving, I want to say in the 30s. I think in the 30s, late 30s, early 40s, started driving and operating equipment. He actually helped build the Alcan Highway going up to Alaska.
Oh, wow.
He built a bunch of roadways in Canada. He built the Kicking Horse Pass going into Golden, BC. Then my dad started driving when he was 18. So that would have been, I think, in the 70s. A bunch of my uncles still drive truck.
Wow.
One of my aunts actually drives truck. My late aunt, I should say. She passed away here about a year and a half ago, but she drove truck. I got family in the States that drive truck still. And yeah, so it's kind of a,
wow, it really is a family affair. Yeah, it really is a family affair. Well, you know what? Just because, you know, I think this will solidify in everybody's mind. How about if you tell us about your Wyoming DOT lets me go during a blizzard? Because why? You're Canadian.
Oh, because I'm Canadian. Okay, so I was pulling a load out of the docks of Houston there, one of the ports.
Uh-huh.
I was about 13.6 wide. And I was going up to a compressor plant, a gas compression plant up in northern Alberta. And where we pulled into, I think it was Cheyenne Port of Entry. Yeah, Cheyenne Port of Entry on the I-25. And most oversized guys will know you have to phone ahead to Wyoming and get what's called a clearance number to allow you to get into the state, because you can't buy a permit for Wyoming online. It's all at the port of entries. So you phone them, give them your dimensions, your weights. They give you a clearance number so you can actually enter the state from the state line to the port of entry, which could be anywhere from, you know, 5 miles to 20 miles, depending on where you're coming in. And that way you won't get a ticket for being oversized without a permit, right? So anyway, so I pull in, they dig all my measurements and stuff, make sure I'm legit. And they noticed my oversized mirrors, like my extended mirrors, weren't out far enough. So they told me I had to fix that. So I spent about 2 hours sticking around with that, trying to get it them out far enough so they were quote unquote legal for them. And in that time, a blizzard rolled in. And the state of Wyoming, well, most states actually, if there's a snowflake in the air, oversized loads are shut down, get off the highway. And so it rolled in. And the guy said I was good to go. And I'm looking at the roads and I'm looking at the sky. And I looked at him. I said, well, do you want me to go or do you want me to stay here? Because technically I'm not supposed to go anywhere. And he asked me, he said, well, where are you trying to get to? And I said, I'm trying to get to Casper, Wyoming, where there's a big truck stop there, the Hat 6. I said, I'm trying to get there. And he kind of looked at me and looked at the door and says, you're good to go. You're Canadian. You know how to drive in the snow. And he let me go.
Nice. Oh, nothing like having something like that said to you, you know? That makes you feel good, doesn't it? I mean, it's true. I mean, I don't know, you know, any other way to explain that other than that is, you know, truer words cannot be spoken. If you're Canadian, you know how to drive in the snow. It's not your first rodeo.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Although I have a little side story.
Yeah.
I have been shut down in the snow in Texas, actually, once. We had a blizzard roll through and a cop shut us down and said, what did he say? He said, we know you know how to drive in the snow. I saw your pilots are from Montana. The problem is everybody here doesn't know how to drive in the snow. So just shut it down and wait for it to melt.
Yep. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's got to make you feel good when you're just sitting still because, you know, nobody else can drive. You'd think they would let you go because you'd be the only person on the road. You know?
We were 26 feet wide at that time. So it's one of those things where, just sit it out, wait for it to melt.
Yeah. Holy cow. That is big. That is freaking big. I see one here. It's called Outrun Texas Tornado. That sounds like it's going to be an interesting story.
So it kind of is and it kind of isn't. It's kind of, we were coming across, what road was it? It was in the Panhandle. And we were 26 feet wide again on a 9-axle. And we were trying to make it to the Texas-Oklahoma line, just north of Stratford, to meet up with our police escort the next day. And I was having problems with the truck. It was breaking down lots. And so we're pushing really hard. And we're coming across this little side road to get into Stratford. And all of a sudden, the sky started to get dark. The skies turned that green color from the sun coming through the clouds. And the wind picked up. And my front pilot looked over and said, there's a funnel cloud. And I looked over and I saw it dropping down in the field next to us. And I pretty much told them on the radio, says, well, we're not stopping because we got to get out of here or we're going to be toast. And as it's dropping, we're, you know, dropping a couple of gears and putting the foot to the floor, trying to get in front of it, got in front of it, hung it right and took off into Oklahoma. And I think that tornado only lasted maybe 10 minutes on the ground and didn't hit anything. So that was a good thing. But it was just one of those stories where, you know what, now I can honestly say I outran a tornado.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
What are you hauling that's 26 feet wide, if I can ask? I'm curious.
Up to the oil sands up in northern Alberta. Those really big dump trucks they use to haul overburden and product around in the mines and the coal mines and stuff.
Yeah. Big ukes.
Yeah.
Big Euclids and stuff. It was the box, like the rock box is what I was hauling.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Just the box.
Yeah, I've hauled.
Holy crap.
Just the box, yeah.
No rocks in the box.
No, I've hauled every piece to a 797. So the box, the frame, the engine, all the parts, the tires, the rims, I've hauled every piece of a 797.
Wow.
Yeah, because you don't see those one-ton wannabes hauling that kind of stuff.
No.
You know, fully assembled.
Holy cow, no way. No, my word. All right, well, what is this drunk pilot in Wyoming?
Once again, hauling another rock box. Uh-huh. We were coming up into Wyoming, and we had to pick up a third pilot for the state of Wyoming. And we picked him up at the state line. We got into Torrington, Wyoming that night, which was the port of entry. Parked for the night because it was too late to go to the scale and grab our permits. Told the pilots, yeah, we're done for the night. You know, go grab a hotel room, do whatever you want to do. Be here at like 6 in the morning. We got to be at the scale at 7 when they open so we can get our permits. Everybody says, yeah, they bugger off. We go to bed, get up in the morning. We bugger off to the scale, which I don't know, about 3 miles down the road. And comes out, does all the measurements, and he go in to get the permit, and he changed the route on us from the route we requested. So I grabbed the paperwork and the permit. I went to my front pilot, told him, said, okay, listen, this, the route's changed. This is what we're doing now. We're going over it. He goes, okay, yeah, we know where we're going. Perfect. So I go to the other pilot that we picked up that we put in what we call the rocking chair. Mm-hmm. And basically he just kind of goes back and forth between the load and the front pilot, right? Kind of rocks back and forth. That's why we call it the rocking chair.
Okay.
And when I walked up to him to tell him that the route was changed, he rolled down the window and all I could smell was whiskey coming out of his vehicle, right? So I kind of told him, I said, yeah, you may as well put your sign down and go home. And he said, why? I said, because I can smell the booze off your breath. And he's trying to say he doesn't drink this and that. And I told him, I said, it's not me I'm worried about. Uh-huh. I said, it's everybody else on the road. I said, and if the guy out of the scale comes out to check you, which he's legally allowed to do, make sure you have all your tickets, and he smells it on you, you is getting a ticket. I'm getting a ticket. We're getting pulled off the road. And then the company that I'm driving for will be kicked out of this state. So you may as well go home and I'll find another pilot.
Holy cow.
Why would you? Yeah. You know, I'm spitballing here. Why would you be getting a ticket?
Because I'm the one who hired him.
Get the heck out. Wow.
And yeah, I'm responsible for him, basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, that just doesn't sound fair, but I mean, I get it because, you know, you're the responsible party. Yeah. So, you know,
it's like, yeah. So when you're oversized and you're that big, mm-hmm. you're always at fault no matter what happens. Right.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Yeah.
That makes sense. I guess, you know, it is what it is. I mean, that's the industry, you know, that's the industry we work in. So does the rest of your family haul, do they haul all kinds of different stuff? Is there, or do you all do like the big loads, the large loads like that, oversized loads and all, or is there like a plethora of things that go on in the family?
So I was the only one that actually did the, you know, quote unquote heavy haul, like the big stuff.
Yeah.
My dad hauled some big stuff, but nothing more than like a 9-axle could haul. Uh-huh. And I was up to the big platform trailers and the 13 axles and the Shirleys and all that. I did all that.
Right.
And the rest of us, trying to think, well, my one uncle does equipment with a low bed. That's what he does. And the rest of them were just van drivers. I think one uncle was a step deck. He has a step deck and that's what he does, lumber and stuff. Right. But I'm pretty much the only one that did the actual heavy hauls.
Yeah. It's just the thought of doing some the big stuff that you haul. I mean, it's just got to be fascinating to do it. I mean, I think about it. It's not anything that, you know, for myself, I'm like, I don't know. You know, like it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
You know, so like
you got to be half nuts to do it.
Yeah, you do. And how'd you find yourself getting into doing something like that? Like what drew you to that? That I guess is the question. You know, what drew you to that aspect of the industry?
I guess what drew it to me is honestly, I want to be the biggest, baddest dog out on the road.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's why I wanted to do it.
It's all ego.
Yeah, it's all ego.
No, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
I can barely fit my head in the cat. I don't know. I like the challenge of it. Yeah. I like the people I worked with. I like the fact that people stare at you when you're rolling down the highway.
Boy, that's the truth.
Right? I guess that's part of the ego thing.
Yeah.
The amount of people that would pull over and take pictures as you roll by, because, uh-huh. you know, like I said, you're the biggest, baddest dog on the highway.
Most definitely.
Yeah, and it's like everybody knows the trucking industry is like a small community, but the heavy haul industry is even smaller. So you get to know everybody and the brotherhood is in the heavy haul is a lot like what trucking used to be back in the 70s and 80s. It's really tight knit and everybody helps everybody out. And just one of those things where once you get in, you're in for life.
That is really cool. I mean, I like that. I really do. I think that's really cool. You know, because it's a very small group of people that do that kind of heavy hauling. I mean, that's really heavy stuff.
Yes.
So yeah, it's what's so interesting about it is that it is so, and I even you know, like when I say it's an ego thing, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. Yeah. You know, you got to have an ego and a desire to do something like that in order to do it. You know, you got to have an ego as big as the load you're hauling. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
I said, it's not a bad thing. I mean it in a good way. You know, it's just because I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I mean, you just you got to have big brass ones. You know what I'm saying? It's just that's the way it is. Because that's that's not the average truckload. It's not the average thing that the average driver is hauling. It's not the guy who just came out of school and is starting at Swift. Is, you know, he's not thinking about that. You know what I mean? I
mean, he has to have 8 weeks.
A little more than 8 weeks.
Yes, sir.
Hauling big stuff. Eight and a half.
Yeah, there you go. 8 and a half.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just was just curious, and I think that's really cool. It really is cool. What happens to this Idaho Falls woman cell phone argument?
Oh, that. So we were hauling. We were on a haul doing all the windmills out of the Port of Vancouver and Port of Longview in Washington up to Alberta. So they would come in on ships from China. We'd go to the ports, load them up, all the parts and pieces and stuff, and haul them into Alberta. And me and my rear pilot, were headed back down to grab another one. So we were technically empty, but I still had the 13 axle on, so I needed a pilot for Idaho. Mm-hmm. And we're coming into Idaho Falls, and for, probably 30, 40 miles, all the light boards saying, slow traffic ahead, accident, incident, prepare to stop.
Right.
And apparently this woman never saw a single sign for the last 30 miles. And we're coming up to the stop traffic, so we're slowing down, gearing down and everything. And the woman goes flying by me like I'm stopped.
Uh-huh.
And I'm watching her as I'm going. And I remember getting on the radio with my pilot saying, this woman's going to hit this traffic. And at the last second, she must have looked up off her cell phone and freaking cranked the wheel over into the ditch, came back up and, straightened back out and carried on as normal. And when I got up to her, like I came up to the traffic and I just happened to look over and she's still yakking on her cell phone.
Wow.
Right? So all I did is I just looked at her. She saw me. I shook my head like, you're an idiot, whatever. Then she comes up to me, starts honking on the horn. So I rolled down my window and she asked me what the hell I'm shaking my head at. And I told her, I said, get off your damn phone. You almost caused an accident on the interstate.
Right.
And she's starting to, chirp into me about it. And we're arguing back and forth. I'm calling her an idiot and she's calling me a dumbass and all this stuff. And I was like, I have it on dash cam. I'll gladly show you that you're the one who screwed up. So anyway, she's yelling at me. I'm yakking on the radio with the pilot behind me. And she tries to say that I'm distracted driving as well because I'm on the radio. And I pull my permit off the seat and I show her. And I said, it says right here that by law, I have to maintain radio communication with the guy behind me. So I am legally allowed to use my radio while I'm driving. Right?
Wow. You know, it's... That is so typical four wheeler. I mean, it has been my pet peeve lately. I just, where I'm going at night and granted, I mean, I'm just driving a regular, 53 foot box van, nothing special, nothing spectacular. But I cannot understand people and their driving habits anymore. Shipper and I have been doing this for over 30 years. I'm 31 years. Shipper's doing it for 35. And I don't ever remember traffic and people and cars and, four wheelers and even big trucks. I'm just like, what is everybody doing anymore? You got people. I've been complaining to Shipper about this all week long because I started running up to Massachusetts, which I never thought I would ever do. I never thought myself like I would take that run, and I took it. And so you're going through Jersey and you got three lanes of traffic going through Jersey And you got people who will sit in the center lane. They'll do 60 miles an hour, speed limit 65. And then you got your right hand lane.
Yeah.
And everybody's doing 55 to 65 there. And then you got the, you know, your hammer lane on the far left, but big trucks aren't allowed over there. So you are stuck between these two lanes and you just want to, I mean, you're just screaming. You're just like, what is going on? What are we doing in the center lane doing 60, 57, 55? Yeah. I'm like, what is happening?
And this is why the words were developed, coming about.
I mean, here's this woman. She just almost causes an accident. She finds herself going into a ditch and coming out. And then she wants to argue with you about what you're just looking at her, shaking your head. And she's like, I mean, just that attitude, to have that confrontational attitude rather than just putting her head down and going, boy, I'm an idiot. You know, she actually argues with you. She wants to go come up and have a discussion with you about how you're judging her. You know, it's like, I'm judging you. Yes. Cause your driving habits are horrible.
Yeah, exactly. You're the one who almost caused an accident on the interstate. Not me. Right? I
mean, it is just crazy.
I started slowing down 3 miles ago.
Right. Yeah, because you saw the signs.
I saw the sign.
Yeah, you and Ace of Base, you saw the sign.
Exactly.
Oh, please do not encourage this man.
That's awesome.
We're going to have to get rid of the bingo card and bring out the old 70s and 80s music references.
As long as you got your 45 records, man, your 45s, that's it.
Yeah. 45s and 78s.
Amen, brother.
So we lost this generation.
Yes, sir. It's great. I know. They're like, oh, what? 40 what? 70 what? Yeah. That's all right. Andre the Giant. Albert Lehman?
Albert Lee. Yeah, Minnesota.
Oh, okay. So, Lee, Minnesota.
Yeah. So there's a truck stop I used to hang out at quite a bit. The Petro in Albert Lee, Minnesota. It's on it's the I-35. I think it's the I-35. It's been a while since I've been there. So I'm pretty sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. Pulled in there, parked, went in for dinner, came back out, and I'm sitting in my truck. I'm having a cigarette, and I had the CD on.
Uh-huh.
And sitting there, just minding my own business. And I think I was perusing Twitter or Facebook or something on my phone, and I started to hear yelling outside. So I look up, and there's this guy walking. And he's yelling at this guy who drove for, I think it was Werner. He was trying to back into a stall. And you can tell the guy's having a bit of an issue trying to back in. Probably, you know, his 8.5 weeks were up and they sent him out onto the road.
Right.
And so the guy's yelling at him, telling me he's an idiot and he shouldn't be driving this and that. And whenever I'm minding my own business, I look back down on my phone. And then I start to hear the CD going off. It's the same guy that was yelling outside. And I'm listening to him and he's talking about how these drivers today don't know how to back up and this and that. And when I learned how to drive, if I couldn't back up, I got yanked out of the truck and da 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 da. And then I start looking around because I noticed that the signal's really strong on the CB. And I realized this guy is like two trucks down from me in this truck, in a cattle truck.
Mm-hmm.
So people are starting to chirp him on the radio. And one guy says, "Where are you parked? I'll come and kick your ass right now." And this guy actually is dumb enough to tell him where he's parked, right? Yeah. So I'm kind of looking around just trying to see when the excitement's going to start, right? And then I see this guy, and he's the size of Andre the Giant, walk out from this one row of trucks, and he's walking straight for this cattle truck. And the guy in the cattle truck, he's probably 5'5", if that, right? He sees him coming. Fires up his truck, throws it in gear, barely releases the maxis, and he's gone like a shot. Right? And the Andre the Giant guy just kind of flips him off and nods his head in approval and walks back to his truck.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I still got the video on my phone.
Oh, my word.
It was hilarious.
That is just perfect. I mean, you talk about poetic justice, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So what goes on now this one I think is good. This just sounds really interesting to Minot snowstorm.
Oh, Minot.
Minot. Oh, that's how you say it. Minot. Yeah, like you can tell where I've been. Minot snowstorm 13. Yeah, Minnow.
Hey, okay, you know, little
like,
buddy.
Well, I didn't know if it was like French Canadian or something. I'm like, yeah, Minot. Okay.
Minot's in North Dakota.
Yeah, there you go. And,
there's an Air Force base there.
You know, it's the States when it's phonetically, when you would pronounce it phonetically, you know, Minot. M-I-N-O-T, Minot. Yep. We're not as cool as they are in Canada. We're not doing any French accents. It's just Minot. Anyway, go for it.
Okay, so I was bringing a chassis up, a 797 chassis on the 13 axle, and they weigh about 140,000 pounds on this. And then they put it on the trailer, and you gross out about 240,000 pounds.
Wow.
Just so people know what's going on. We're like, I think we're 15'2 high and 13'6 wide, and we're 150 feet long. So we come out of Illinois, and we're coming into, where the hell did we stop that night? Waterton, South Dakota, we stopped that night. And another driver that was working for the same company, he had the rear axle to the truck on his trailer, and he left. He made it about 20 miles further than I did. Mm-hmm. And that morning when he left, he phoned me and said, hey, just so you know, they're calling for some snow and ice and stuff. So if you're going to go, you should probably get up and get going now before it rolls in. Because like I said, a lot of the states, there's a snowflake in the air, oversized is shut down.
Oh, yeah.
So basically it was one of those things. If we don't get going, we're stuck for who knows how long. Right. So I phoned the pilot, said, yeah, let's get going. Try and beat this storm. So we get going. We're checking the road reports. Everything's so far so good. We get into Fargo. We make our left onto the I-94. Yeah, the I-94. When we start bombing down the I-94, we get into Bismarck. And along the way, every place where we could actually pull in and stop, I'm checking the roads ahead, you know, to make sure we can keep going. If not, we'll pull in and park, right? Uh-huh. So we get into Bismarck. I check the US 83. Make sure everything's kosher. As of that point, we were good. So we made our right, start chucking up US 83. And the last place we were able to pull into a spot was Washburn. And we get into Washburn. I check the roads again. Yeah, everything's good. Let's keep trucking. And about 20 miles north of Washburn, blizzard rolls in, right? So now we're fighting this blizzard. And, legally, we're not supposed to be out on the road, but we have nowhere to park. Mm-hmm. So we have to get to the next safe haven, right? So we can safely get off the road. And that was just north of Minot in a little town called Carpio. There's a big truck stop we can wheel in there. So as we're going up the 83, we're seeing all these state troopers headed south. And I remember telling the pilot, it's like, one of these guys is going to whip around and pull us over and tell us, you know, what the hell are you doing out here? But nothing was happening. So we just kept going. And we're coming into Minot, and the roads are terrible, like glare ice, snowing and blowing. And we're putzing through town at about 20 miles an hour, just going as slow as we can so we don't get into an accident or anything. And we go over US 2, and we have to do a clover leaf to get around and to get onto the US 2 so we can get out of town. So as we're going around, I feel the dolly of the trailer on the back end of the trailer start to slide out. And the dolly on the 13 axle, they'll steer themselves, like they have steering in them. So as the trailer turns, the tires will start turning too to try and correct it.
Okay.
Because it thinks it's starting to turn around the corner. So that made it even worse. And it starts swaying back and forth as I'm going around this clover leaf. So all I do is I hit the Johnny bar and put my foot on the throttle to try and straighten it up, get around the corner and get up the hill. And everything's silent. It's kind of like a slow motion thing. So everybody's quiet. Get up the hill, and about 5 minutes after we go, the rear pilot gets on the radio and goes, well, that was close. And I said, yeah, my ass is still puckered to the seat on that one.
You know, I can't imagine with that kind of weight, that kind of length, that kind of size to get even a little squirrely, you know, it's like, that's just not going to be good. You know, that you know what I'm saying? That shipper sitting there just looking at me like,
I feel you, bro.
Yes, there you go. I feel you, bro. What happens when a farmer threatens to phone cops when the pilot stops him?
Oh, that one. So we were another 26 wide box, and it was a farmer. Where was it? South Dakota, I think. I think it was South Dakota. Chucking along, and this farmer with his tractor and his seed drill, air seeder. We see him coming down the, I don't know what you guys call them, but we call them range roads, just county roads, I guess, gravel roads.
Yeah.
He's coming down, and we're all thinking he's going to stop, let us go by, and then pull out. No, he pulls out right in front of us. So we start slowing down. He gets going, and of course, those tractors only do about 25 miles an hour. And we're trying to figure out a way to get around him because he's like 20 feet wide and we're 26 and like we can't just pass him like normal.
Right.
So the front pilot, he gets in front of him and he's trying to stop traffic at the intersection so the farmer can pull over, let us go by. And he just keeps going. Doesn't even care that we're behind him. So I get on the radio and I tell the front pilot, you know, just start slowing down, get him to slow down and we'll try and get around him. So he starts doing that. And I pull out to try and get around him. And the second the front pilot starts going again, the farmer kicks up a gear and starts trucking down the highway again. So finally I get pissed off and tell the pilot, just stop on the highway. Stop. Get him to stop. We'll get around him. Away we go. So he stops on the highway. The farmer stops. He gets out and starts just laying into my front pilot about how he's going to phone the cops and charge us with impeding traffic or whatever it was. Uh-huh. And the pilot's relaying the message on the radio to me. And I just tell him, I said, here's my permit number. Here's the number to the cops. Tell him to phone him and I'll wait here until the cops show up. Because I know exactly what that cop's going to say. He's going to tell him to get the hell out of my way. Right?
Right.
So as soon as I told the farmer that, his attitude changed. He hopped back in his tractor and he left.
That's amazing. The attitude change, you know? All of a sudden, you know, the ego's not as big as it was.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. Sometimes there is just justice, you know, it's justice that comes along once in a while, you know. What is this more power than you bull rack pulling 4th of July?
Oh, so I don't know if you guys know that a lot of the big pulls are named. Like there's 4th of July, there's Smasher, there's Lookout Pass, there's Kicking Horse, like all the big mountains in the Rockies, they all have names and all the drivers know them, right. So the 4th of July is on the I-90 in Montana, and it pretty sure that's where the border is, if I remember correctly, between Idaho and Montana. So the truck I was in we were governed at 65 miles an hour, and we're going back to Vancouver, Washington to grab another windmill. And so I have the empty 13 axle on and we're trucking down the highway, getting ready for the pull, and a bull rack goes by me like I'm stopped. And me being me, I get on the radio and I said, oh, you're getting a blast for the hill. And he gets back, he says, oh, don't worry about me. I got lots of power, right? I don't have to worry about hills. Okay. Yeah. No problem. Whatever. Have a good day. Start climbing the hill. Next thing you know, I'm putting my signal light on, pulling out and passing him going up the hill. So, and I get on the radio and I tell him, I said, I thought you had lots of power. And he said, well, you're empty and I'm loaded. And I said, well, yeah, I'm empty, but I weigh 96,000 pounds empty. Right. And you weigh what? 80,000. So what? I thought you had lots of power. And he goes, well, how much power do you have? And I said, more than you. And up the hill I went.
Nice. Well played. Right answer.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. That is just beautiful. Shipper, do you have any questions?
They're flexing their power bands.
Is that what that?
Yeah.
They're flexing their power bands. Oh, my word. In Oklahoma, how often do police give tickets to drivers?
Every day.
Oh, that's, yeah. So that was, I think that was the last heavy haul load I did, too, before I got into this gig I'm doing now. So we're coming across the state of Oklahoma, the panhandle. You come up 287 up to Boise City and we hung a right. I think it was US 56 and you go into Kansas that way. So we're coming up and it's only what, 50 miles or something. Like the panhandle's only like 40 miles wide. And just the way we went, it added an extra 10 miles. So we're coming up the 287. And we have a police escort in front to warn traffic that, hey, we're like a million feet wide. Get the hell off the road. Let us go by.
Right.
Right. And this tanker decides he wants to get in front of us because apparently 65 miles an hour isn't fast enough for him. So he passes us on a double solid. Right.
Wow. Yeah.
And the rear pilot tells us, said, hey, this guy's passing us on the double solid. So 9 times out of 10, if somebody wants to pass us, no matter what it is, we just slow down, pull over, let them go, because it's not worth risking an accident for that guy being a dumbass, right?
Right.
So we start slowing down, and the cop had a CB radio too, and he hears me and the rear pilot talking, and he asked, he said, well, are you sure it was a double solid? And I said, yeah, he's still passing me on the double solid. And he goes, do you want me to give him a ticket? And I kind of hemmed and hawed about it because, like, well, we got to get to this place tonight in order to get across Nebraska. So I don't know. I don't want to waste too many time. And I told him, I said, well, it's up to you. You're the police officer. And he goes, I'm on your payroll today. I'll do whatever the hell you want. Right?
Wow.
So I said, screw it. Give him a ticket. So guy passed the cop on a double solid as well, thinking that wasn't that big of a deal. And the cop pulled him over. We sat there for 20 minutes with the cops just yelling at him and gave him 3 tickets.
Three tickets. Holy crap.
3 tickets. Yeah. One for passing unsafely, one for crossing the center line. And what was the other one for? Some trivial, like not signaling or something like that when you go to overtake a vehicle. He goes, it was just a bullshit ticket, but I gave it to him out of spite.
Yeah. Just to add right? insult to injury, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that is, you know, well, while we're talking about cops, what's this Colorado police almost gets rear-ended?
Oh, okay. So if you haven't figured out, I ran with police a lot, right? With yep. the loads I hauled. So we're coming through Colorado and we have two police escorts in Colorado. And we're coming across, what road was it? I think were we north of Brush or were we south of Brush? I can't remember. Anyway, so we're coming across and the two cop trucks are in front, then my front pilot, me, and then the rear pilot. And the rear pilot gets on our radio because in Canada, we run CB and VHF.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets on the VHF and says, there's a car back here that damn near rear-ended me. And I said, oh, okay, well, just let him get around. Whatever, no big deal. And about 5 minutes later, he gets on the radio again and says, no, she's not getting around. And she keeps coming up and trying to hit me and stuff. So I don't know what the hell's going on with her. So I get on the CB and I ask one of the cops, uh-huh. You know, can you drop behind and kind of just let this person know with your lights and, hey, we're doing a move here. Can you calm down kind of thing, right? And he says, yeah, no problem. So he pulls off. I go around him. He tucks in behind. And then the lady starts trying to hit him. Right.
Wow.
So he gets on the radio and says, we got to stop. I got to deal with this. So we stop. We stop. She whips out around us and goes to make the right hand turn. The cop's right on her ass, pulls her over about, oh, maybe 100 feet after the turn. Same thing. You can see him just yelling at her. Right.
Uh-huh.
And then I think we're only stopped for about 10 minutes. He gets back in his car. And I just noticed that she wasn't leaving, right?
Hmm.
So I got on the radio. I said, well, did she give her a ticket? What's going on? He goes, no, we got to get this load across the state. So I told her, I said, you wait here. I already called you in. Somebody's coming to give you a ticket. And told her, I have your license. I have your address. And I know where you live. If you're not here when my coworker shows up, I'm coming to your house and giving you a ticket personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is, yeah. You know what? That's power. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it's so much fun to have cops on the payroll.
Oh, my word. Right? It's got to be a blast.
You don't stop for anything. You blow through red lights. You don't go into the scales. You blow stop signs. And they always ask you, how fast do you want to drive? Well, we're governing at 65. Good. We're doing 70. Right?
That is amazing. That is so this police escorts, is that that has a lot to do with what you're talking about right now?
For the oversized loads?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things on your list. Yeah, police, the police escorts.
Just a little tidbit there.
Yep.
Just, I'm trying to think here. There's Colorado, I need police, and it's a day move. Nebraska, I need police, and it's a night move with 1, 2, 3, 4 cops, 5, 6, 7 police escorts in total.
Wow.
City of Houston requires police. Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Minot sometimes, Vancouver. There are a lot of different places need police depending on how big you are, right?
No kidding.
Yeah.
And they get paid from the company, right? My assumption was always that, you know, that just falls under their jurisdiction. It's one of the things that they do, but apparently not. Apparently I was wrong that they actually are, you know, from what I'm gathering from what you're saying, they're actually getting paid from your company.
Yeah. Yeah. So the company pays them.
Wow.
And it's all overtime hours for them. They never bring a cop that's actually on shift to do it. They always get the guys that are off shift come in for overtime. Right. So it's always, you know, it's always a pretty penny to have the police escorts.
Oh my word. Yeah.
But it's nice to have them when you're that big.
There's no other way to go when you're like that. I can't imagine trying to navigate, you know, just regular, you know, just doing it without a police escort when you're that large going down the road, you know, because people are bad enough when you're just a regular sized truck, like we were talking about before, going down the road.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine being that type of size, you know, and just, you know, I mean, of course, like you said, you know, you get the gawkers who are just amazed that something that large is rolling down the road. And then you got the idiots who think that they got to get ahead of you. You know, the typical, you know, oh, I don't want to get behind the truck, you know, so I got to screw you, you know, it just, so, you know, I can just appreciate that. That's amazing to me. It's such a fascinating thing, you know, to think about doing and moving something that large, and it actually rolls down the road. You know, it's like, oh my word, you just can't, because you can't think of something. You know, I mean, I know we've all seen those big trucks and stuff like that, the big dump trucks that you haul and all that stuff. And you know, we've all, you know, seen that kind of stuff, but to actually be doing it and, you know, I mean, something that's 26 feet wide, it's like, holy crap. You know, that's like taking up the whole highway, you know?
Yeah, especially like when down in Texas, because we hauled them off the Mexican border because they're built in Mexico. And then the Mexican drivers bring them across the border and then we pick them up and we carry them north. And a lot of the roads in Texas, they'll send you down, they call them farm to market roads. And they're like 20 feet wide.
Wow.
So you are literally wider than the road.
Yeah.
And that's when you get the pilots to run about a mile ahead of you and just start getting people to go into the ditch because there's nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Right.
There is not. There's nothing. There's nothing you can do about it. It's coming. So you might as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. I just, you know, that's crazy. Now this story, I'm going to try and pronounce this properly. And I don't know. You can just get to tell me if I did it right or not. This Ninalchik, Arkansas bar shut down.
Ninalchik, Alaska. Arkansas's AR.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, there you go. That's, I'm like in my head. I'm like,
that the Canadian knows more about it than you guys.
Yeah, how about it?
I'm still looking at my phone. I'm not looking at the computer.
He's always looking at his phone. Yeah, I should have known it was that, but you know. So that's Ninalchik?
Ninalchik.
Okay.
Ninalchik.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So Ninalchik is just this little, you know, town on the Kenai Peninsula of Alaska.
Okay.
It's actually right across the peninsula from Homer, Alaska. Just people know what Homer, Alaska is, but nobody knows where Ninalchik is. So we were hauling a compressor up there out of Grand Prairie, Alberta. And I'm trying to think, we all loaded. I think it was Monday. We all loaded on a Monday, and the consultant coordinator from the job in Alaska was down there. And I remember him asking us, well, when are you going to be on site? And we told him probably Thursday night or Friday morning. And he said, well, are you sure? Yeah. We'll be, you know, we got all the hours. We're good to go. You know, we're loaded up. We'll be there. We told him the stops we're going to make along the way. So we'll be there Thursday night, Friday morning. Okay, perfect. So we get into where was it? Glen Allen, Alaska, I think. And we all get a message saying, don't go past Palmer. The site's not ready. Won't be ready till Monday. So like, okay, no big deal. So we stay in Palmer for the weekend, which was kind of nice because we got to kind of cruise around Anchorage and see all the sites and stuff. And then we leave. We all leave Sunday night. We go to Nanilchik, the park, and be ready for Monday morning.
Okay.
And the only place that was big enough to park all the trucks and the loads was the local bar/restaurant. So we pull in, and I walked in. It was the other driver. He walked in to ask, saying, hey, can we park here for the night? We'll be gone in the morning. We're just offloading down the road, you know, because we were, you know, trying to be courteous. It's not our lot, right?
Right.
And the owner of that restaurant and bar was there actually that night. And he said, yeah, not a problem. Just, I have one condition. Just come in and have some dinner, right? They're like, oh yeah, not a problem. So we go in and realize, oh, there's a bar here. So we all go into the bar and we start, you know, drinking some drinks, some adult drinks, and eating food. And next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and the owner's telling us like, okay, you guys got to go. Like, I need to go to bed. I got to open this place up in 4 hours for breakfast. Right. So we shut the bar down that night. We all, you know, stumble back, go to bed, get up in the morning, go in for breakfast. And the owner's there laughing at us because, you know, we're all feeling, you know, not 100%.
Right.
And he kind of came up and gave us the menus and came up and said, I always heard that Canadians can drink, but man, was I surprised how much you could drink.
Nothing like surprising the bar owner in Nanilchik. Alaska. Yeah,
it took a while for me to figure it out.
Yeah, you just keep looking at it and you're like, what the heck? You know, well, then again, I'm not from Alaska, so it's okay. You know, I'm from a small town here in PA, you know, Shuey. What can I say? Shuey,
PA.
You know, so what is Scott City Bull Hauler?
Oh, so that was Scott City, Kansas. Same thing. We were, I think we were 24 wide that day. So, you know, not big, but not small.
Right.
And Kansas, you needed 3 pilots as well, 2 in the front, 1 in the back. And we're coming through Scott City. And it's 4 lanes through the city. Well, it's not really a city. It's kind of more of a town. But it's 4 lanes with no median, just a center line, right? And there's cars parked on both sides. So usually what we do is I'll move to the hammer lane on my side. Block the hammer lane, the granny lane on my side, and the hammer lane heading the other way on the other side, but the granny lane's open, right, on their side. So the 2 pilots in the front, they go side by side, and they push everybody over to the granny lane, right? Excuse me. And we're doing that. Everything's hunky-dory. Everybody's behaving. And, yeah, bull hauler. And just so everybody's aware, I'm not a big fan of the bull haulers because of their attitude.
Okay.
Right? You were talking about how big egos are with heavy haul. Well, their egos are so big, I'm surprised that they can fit in the cab of their truck. So he gets on the radio and starts speaking at us. He said, I'm sick and tired of you heavy haul guys thinking you own the road just because you have some flashy lights. And that's like verbatim. And it's,
wow.
I'm going to remember that till the day I die.
Yes, sir.
And before anybody could answer, I grabbed the mic and I told him, I said, well, there's a piece of paper in the cab of my truck that says I do own this road. And if you don't like it, too bad, so sad.
By your own road.
So he starts chirping. Go ahead.
By your own road.
Yeah, exactly. So he starts chirping, getting mad at me about it. And I finally just had enough. Uh-huh. And I told him, I said, well, if you don't move out of the way, we're going to have a problem. And same thing, he threatened to phone the cops. I said, go right ahead. Like, I know what they're going to say. We rented the road for the day, you know. And I told him, I said, did you pay $6,000 for the permit for the day? He goes, no. I said, did you spend, you know, $15,000 in pilots so I can move this load? Well, no. I said, well, there you go. I did. So I have a little more priority than you do.
Yeah, right? I would say so.
And yeah, he wasn't moving. Oh, go ahead.
And a deeper pocket.
Yeah. And he wouldn't move out of the way. And he was getting mad. Uh-huh. And Every permit, I shouldn't say every permit, but 90% of the permits, it states in the permit that you are legally allowed to detain traffic for a maximum of 15 minutes. And then you have to let traffic flow.
Okay.
So like if we need to cross a railway track or, you know, we need to make a really wide turn at an intersection, we're allowed to stop traffic, right?
Okay.
And, excuse me. And he got so, not uppity, but confident that we were going to move out of his way, that I got on the VHF and I told the rear pilot to start a timer. Uh-huh. And he said, why? I said, just start a timer. And I swung the truck over just a bit, not enough to cross the center line because that's illegal,
right,
but just enough that he couldn't move. And I sat there for 14 minutes and 58 seconds staring at him.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's madder than mad. And he's yelling on the radio. And I just kind of put my arms up, shrugged. And as soon as he said, yeah, 15 minutes are almost up, I swung the truck back over and went around him and away I went.
Nicely played, man. That's freaking awesome. You know, when somebody, yeah, you know, when somebody gets uppity like that, you know, sometimes you just got to help them find their spot, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, not a bad deal. That's actually, I had no idea that you guys had that kind of, you know, you could stop traffic for 15 minutes like that. That's it's interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that, you know, you don't realize about this type of stuff. So
in 15 minutes, he saved 15%
or more.
Yeah, there you go.
I have to ask you this one because it's just interesting the way you have it worded here. Texas permit steps on own dick multiple times.
I'm
curious. So, like, I can't help it. I just had to.
So me and the pilots that I'm actually still friends with, they're out of Billings, Montana. I use them all the time. And we kind of nicknamed that the trip from hell. So normally when we came off the Mexican border, we would, we'd come up, we loaded out of McAllen, Texas. It's also called Far McAllen. It's it's probably 4 hours east of Laredo. And so we usually come straight north, mm-hmm, and then we kind of work our way towards Austin, go around the south side of Austin, and then go straight north again and enter into Oklahoma through Parrington, Texas. Uh-huh. This, for whatever reason, this time, the permit sent us all the way east, almost all the way to Houston, and then start working our way back northwest, get up to Parrington. And it was a really weird route. None of us have ever been on it before. And then we started noticing that it was really screwed up. Like, things were wrong. We're going through construction zones that weren't on the permit. And like 40 miles into that trip, we loaded and we made 40 miles and we were supposed to make a right-hand turn onto this road. And the front pilot gets on the radio and says, we can't turn right here. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, we can't turn right. And I'm looking at the permit and it says, well, we have to turn right here. That's what the permit says. He goes, well, you can try, but the road isn't there. Uh-huh. And I looked up to see what was going on and the road was gone. Like, they tore it all up. There's a construction site going on. Wow. And they tore the road up.
That ain't good.
Yeah. So luckily there's a spot that I could whip off the road. We hop into the pilot's truck. I go talk to the foreman or whatever and say, you know, what the hell is going on? And they said, well, the road's ripped up. You can try if you want. I was like, I'm not freaking doing that. I'll get stuck and then I'll be on the evening news, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So that was that one. We waited 22 hours for a new permit to come in just to tell us that we can turn around, go south half a mile, go on another road for 6 miles, and then hang a left another half a mile, and then we're back on the original route. So that was that one.
Wow.
The next one, we were 15-7 high. We came into a town. The permit told us to turn right. And when the pilot turned right, he gets on the radio and says, you won't fit under that bridge. I look, the bridge is 14-6 high.
Wow.
So we're almost a foot taller. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to go straight across. We'll park. We'll try and figure out what's going on. As I do that, there's actually an undercover cop. Well, not an undercover, but like a ghost car.
Uh-huh.
It was sitting on the other side of the intersection. He flicks on his lights, comes up, asks for our permit, give it to him. And he says, you know, what's going on? I said, well, it's telling us we have to turn right, but we can't fit underneath that bridge. So we're just going to try and figure out here what to do. And he goes, oh, yeah, this happens all the time. Follow me, I'll get you through town. So we do that.
Wow.
Then about 100 miles later, sends us into a construction zone where they had a lane closed off with equipment parked right up against the Snyder eggs. So we had to knock down all the other cones to get by everything. And then it tried to get us underneath another low bridge that I had to back up down the highway and go around. That was a trip. I ended up sleeping with about 7 cockroaches too in the hotel.
Oh, wow.
That was fun. Ugh. Yeah. Woke up in the morning, lifted my blanket, and there was a bunch of cockroaches on the bed. I was like, oh, lovely.
Oh, just hanging out, anyway, staying warm, you know?
yeah. Hanging out.
Wow.
We got pulled over, I think, 4 times to have our permits checked. And every time they just laughed and said, have fun with that rope. And they gave it back to us.
Wow.
And I think it was the 4th or 5th time I finally asked the cop. I said, why are we getting pulled over all the time? Like, I understand you're checking stuff out, but I've been running out of Texas here for, you know, a couple of years now, and I've never been pulled over. Uh-huh. And the cop actually told me, he said, well, this route here is where all the oversize go when they don't have permits. So we've been starting to crack down. If we see an oversize, we pull them over to make sure they have a permit.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a trip from hell. Yeah, I didn't want to go that way ever again.
and you just detoured because the road was tore up. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah, it really just sounds like GPS was issuing permits at this time.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah,
well, recalculating, we get more.
Yeah. Apparently, what I was told is how the Texas permits work is it's a Texas A&M college engineering students.
Okay. Yeah.
Does the permits up. You send in your dimensions. All the construction zones are supposed to send in their information to, I think, the DMV or DOT.
Uh-huh.
And then it gets into the computer system. So you send in your dimensions for your oversized load. They type it all in and it pops up a route based on where the construction zones are. So, but a lot of times engineering students don't understand how big you actually are. So they always try and send you down all these little skinny ass roads or back alley. I've been sent down a back alley once at 26 feet wide, right?
Wow.
And for whatever reason, don't know why, because the very next time I got that same route, I told the pilots that we're not freaking going that way ever again, because if you don't make that right-hand turn and you just drive a quarter mile down the 4-lane interstate, you hang it right off the ramp and you make your left and you're on route again. Right? So we're not doing that. Screw that.
They just wanted their alley wider.
Yeah.
Take the buildings with you when you go, you know? Jeez. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is, you know?
I always want one of those students to come with me on a trip. And every time we turn down a road like that, I was just going to reach over and smack him in the back of the head.
Yes. Yes. What do you always say, Ship? Those 5 famous words?
Yes. Take a ride with me.
Take a ride with me. Yes. There you go.
Yeah.
That will set anybody straight. That's all you got to do is just get out of their office and come and take a ride with you. Because join me in my office. Let's go for a ride. So, McKees Rock Scaffolding.
Oh, yeah. And I did that because it popped in my memory when I was listening to one of your episodes. Uh-huh. Somebody mentioned McKees Rock. So I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that trip. Uh-huh. So I had to bring scaffolding down from some town in northern Alberta to McKees Rocks. And never been there before, never been to Pittsburgh. And I talked to a guy that was there and he said, well, just so you know, it's really skinny roads. You know, be careful, da, 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 da. Uh-huh. So following the GPS in the truck, sending me down the truck routes to get to this destination, I'm going by houses, like through residential and stuff. And I'm thinking, I'm not supposed to be here in a truck. Like, there's no way this is a truck route. But sure enough, there's a sign, you know, truck route this way. Okay, great. So keep going.
Right.
And I was... can't remember the highway, but I had to turn right onto the bridge to go over the Ohio River to get into McKees Rocks. And I had it was a 53-foot step deck with the truck. And I start to make the turn and it was rush hour traffic. So everybody's plugged up and I couldn't get out wide enough to make the turn I guess, completely. I just happened to look in my mirror to see where the trailer was, and it's starting to ride up the Jersey barrier on the tires, right? The tires are starting to ride up. So I stop, right. I back up a little bit, and then I go straight towards the traffic that stopped at the light, pretty much to tell them, like, as soon as that light turns green, I'm coming, so you need to get out of my way, right?
Right.
Light turns green, everybody gets out of the way. I make the corner. I go across the river, and I have to get off. I think it's the first exit after the river. I had to get off and make a left. So I get off the ramp, and I realize I have to go underneath this little overpass. I still have pictures of it on my phone because I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't get over. Well, I could get over far enough to make the left-hand turn, but I had to hop the curb, the sidewalk, almost scrape the wall of the over, or I guess the underpass, with the truck, and the trailer was almost scraping the wall on the other side to make the corner.
Wow.
And as soon as I make the corner and get underneath the overpass, big sign, no trucks allowed. Right?
That's crap. A nice time for that sign, huh?
Yeah. So I pull off. I remember I pulled off in front of this little store because it was only, I think, half a mile to where I had to offload. So I pull off on this little by the store, and the person was actually walking out. So I asked, hey, can I park here just for a second? I need to walk this route to make sure I'm not going to screw anything up. Oh, yeah, not a problem. So I walk down, check everything out, check my heights and all that stuff. And I realize, okay, I got to get in here. Go back to the truck, fire it up, get down. I go and deliver. And as I'm delivering, this other driver comes in, and I'm chatting with him, and I'm telling him about what just happened. And he laughs. He goes, you haven't been here before, have you? I said, no, first time. And he says, yeah, that happens all the time. He goes, they just put that sign up last year, and the GPS still hasn't figured out that it's not a truck route anymore.
Wow.
He said, so all the new guys, that's what they do. He said, what you do is you just, instead of hanging a right to leave, you just hang a left and follow the signs to the airport, and they'll take you right out of the city. I was like, well, I wish I talked to you before I did all that.
Right. That would have made life a lot easier, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, hey, I would like you to pick the last story for this episode, but wherever you want to go, if you want to make it a funny, I'm going to let you. This is your call.
My call.
Yep.
Jeez. Let me go through my notes here.
Okay.
Because I want it to be a good one, but not one that takes an hour to explain, right? Let's see. Oh, let's do the rookie on the door.
Okie doke.
Yeah, let's do that one. That's nice, a nice short and sweet one. So, driving for that company, I was pretty, I shouldn't say pretty green, but I was green. I only had my license for a couple of years. So everybody called me rookie, right? So I ended up getting the sticker made and put it on the side of the door, rookie. And then when I got into the heavy haul, I got into a bigger truck, obviously, and put the sticker on the door saying rookie. Right. And I was bringing, I can't remember if it was a chassis or a, was it? No, it was a 24M grader. That's what it was. Like the biggest grader Caterpillar makes. I was hauling that and picked it up out of Illinois. And I was taking it to Regina, Saskatchewan. And get into Regina to the Caterpillar dealer there. And they're waiting for the cranes to show up, pick it up off the trailer.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting outside having a cigarette. We're kind of, you know, chewing the fat with the other guys. And one of the yard guys sees the name on the door. And says, oh, you're a rookie. And I said, yeah, I'm a rookie. And he goes, well, how long have you been doing this? And I just looked at him and says, well, this time and one more will make two. And his eyes got to both the size of dinner plates. He goes, you're kidding, right? And I start laughing. So, oh, yeah, I've been doing this for a while now. So that just, people called me rookie. So the name stuck.
Right. That's awesome, man. That is awesome. I love that. That's a great way to end this. That was fantastic. Yeah. Kyle, we just really appreciate you coming on and just sharing. I mean, you tell a great story, dude. It's just been a blast. Sure. Just
he's a
here
wordsmith.
Listening. He is. I mean, you're just really, you know, you're comfortable, and you know, you can just tell you're comfortable just talking. And I just appreciate that so much. It's just, it's been such a blast just listening to you just kind of regale us with your stories of, and there's still a ton left to talk about. So that's why, you know, definitely going to have you back on.
Yeah,
if, you,
there
if
is.
You're
Holy
willing
crap.
To come on. Yeah, I know. There's two whole pages yet.
Yeah. And so, there's more I've added too since.
Oh, fantastic. You know, so hey, we can get two, maybe three more shows out of this.
This might tie Stormac.
I know, right? If we let this go, if we would just play this out, the whole list, just what I have here, this whole list would give us enough to tie Stormac.
Wow, so, yeah. You're going to give Stormac a run for
his
money.
I know, right? But we're gonna cut this into segments because that's the way Jackson likes
part
it that
one,
way.
Part one, part two, part three, exactly. Part 66.
Yes. The conclusion, 99.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kyle. This is just a blast. And I will definitely be in contact with you. And we will definitely I'd love just having you back on again. You're such an easy person to listen to because you just flow and you just start talking. And it's just been a blast. Yeah. I've enjoyed this. I've really enjoyed it. So thank you so much.
No problem.
Shippers, all of a sudden, Shippers awake and talking now. Here we go.
I'm thinking, you know, we can schedule him out for the whole month of March.
I know, right? What are you doing every Saturday
well,
for the next?
You guys got my number. Shoot me a text. Give me a phone call anytime. Like, I got no issue.
Maybe we'll
I'm
just,
home every weekend
we'll
now with this job
all,
I'm doing.
Oh,
so
good.
We'll just hold all his shows until we get them all.
And then we'll just do one series.
Run them.
It'll
right
be a marathon.
Through,
yeah,
be
yeah
a,
there you go.
Hammer Lane, the marathon.
Yep. The Kyle Marathon. That's
tune
fantastic.
In next week when Kyle pisses off a bull.
A
bull roller.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's freaking awesome. So thank you for, we will definitely be in contact. I'm sure everybody's going to love this show. They're going to love just listening to you tell your stories, and it's just great. You have a memory like it's like a steel trap, dude. You know,
there's a difference between somebody
my wife
that has a memory
laughs at me
and
when
you're,
I bring
and
up
me.
These little and bits of information.
Yeah,
and,
oh, you are, dude. It is. It's fantastic.
There's a difference between him and a person that doesn't have a memory
like me, or
that shall remain nameless because I'm not going to go there. But he lives in a White House. In D.C.
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, you nailed. Wow. You know him too, huh?
Yeah. Oh, we know him. We know about him.
Yeah.
We kind of have his counterpart up here.
Yeah. Yes. Well, at least I don't know what the excuse is for these guys up there because he's younger.
You know. We all have our crosses. Yes. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. So anyway. We hope you enjoyed this show. And if they enjoyed the show, Shipper, what can they do?
They can tune in next week for the continuing saga of Kyle.
Amen, brother.
Share the show. Share it with their friends, enemies, bull haulers. And in case you didn't know it, yes, when Kyle's on the road, he does own the road.
He does. I've learned a few things today, including where Alaska's at.
Right. The abbreviation for Alaska.
You know, it's funny, in your tired head, you're looking at AK and you're like, Arkansas.
Right. You know, they got palm trees there and everything.
It makes sense, you know, like in my head. You know, I haven't slept since yesterday, so, yes. You know, Arkansas. But anyway.
It's Arkansas.
It's Arkansas. There you go. Anyway, thank you so much. Just hang on the phone with us for a few seconds when we hang up here, Kyle, when we sign all the way out. Just hang on for a second or two. And with all that being said, Shipper.
Keep the hammer down the hammer lane. Have a good night.
Have a good one. Take care.
You'll never guess the places that I've been. You never guess the places that I've been. Because everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. I'm never gonna let the day begin. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that dream that I live in. Oh, don't wake me up before you go, and I'll just make this bed my home. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams.
what's better from above. Nothing's ever as it seems, yeah, except in that world that I dream of. Never gonna lose the ones I love. Never gonna lose the ones I love. Cause everything is like a dream, yeah, but only in that world that I dream of. You go, cause I can't face this day alone. Oh, darling, please just let me sleep. Give me my dreams, give me my dreams, give me my dreams.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.